Welcome to Staying at the Table. We are friends and community, part of a church called Cornerstone Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Despite our many differences, we aim to stay at the table, which means we don't walk away from each other when we disagree. We believe the best of relationship comes when we are willing to listen to each other, showing love even when we continue to see the world differently.
In this episode, we talk about creativity, creativity within the church, creativity of thought, and what that might look like in life, what that might look like in relationship, and what that might look like in the church, and is it allowed? We hope you enjoy it. Hello, once again, we welcome you back. And we still have the Reverend Terry Whitmire with us today. And we still have Brian Chilcote sitting at the table.
Hello.
And we have Matt Kistler.
I'm here.
And James has left the table.
Left the table.
Not permanently, not Gone. Because we made him angry or anything, just because he had something he had to do.
Just not staying.
And of course, behind our sound is the amazing Dave Moore, who makes us all sound just
like liquid gold.
Like liquid gold. Perfect word.
I actually sound like this. Somehow he makes me sound good.
Oh my Lord.
It's magic.
Wow. Wow. All right. So we are going to be talking today about, and I have to say that Terry and I, in a conversation that we were having, were talking about this, the subject of creativity in God. And this in conjunction with the creativity of the church. And how much does the church allow for freedom of creativity, freedom of thought, freedom of diversity, and how that whole image intersects within the church, and how much the church has the ability to change. So I'm going to hand it over to Terry to kind of talk about where she was coming from with these thoughts, which I found delicious, and we're going to talk about that. So Terry.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite things to think about is where does creativity come from? And, you know, if we all as humans are created beings, looking at God as the creator, and as the scripture puts it, we're made in the image of God, then that means that we, to my reading, it means that we are made in the image of creativity. That God, you look at everything we can see about the universe. Gosh, that amazing picture from NASA that just, right. You know, that just came out looks like a field of jewels, right? The cosmic dance. there's so much to be amazed by in the diversity of creation, if we see everything as being created by God through whatever method. and then we see ourselves. I see every human being as a creative entity that by breathing air and living our lives, we're creating something all along the way. And like some people are artists and use, you know, paint or music or words. And we look at those people and say they're creative. But truly, everyone is living a life that's creating in whatever media we pass through in our everyday, right? And so if that's like, that's a big part of how I see reality for us as humans. And so what does the church do with this as a gathering of humans purporting to follow God? what is confusing to me is when we see kind of the crackdown on diversity within the church, whether that's diversity of theological perspective and thought, diversity of expression, diversity of skin color, diversity of culture, language, sexual orientation, gender expression, all of these things. There's so many examples that we can look at where the church has tried to bring conformity. And I really appreciate the centered set paradigm for how it allows people to come. It allows for people coming to Jesus from all different angles. And to me, that looks like in all different ways, you know? So that's what I kind of want to lay out on the table and just ask all of you, what could creativity look like in the church? Where does creativity allow us to grow and change in our ways of understanding, in our ways of relating to each other, in our ways of relating to God? Any thoughts?
Oh, well, I can start with a couple.
Please.
Well, when we look at God as a creator, we might also look at Jesus as a creator and then ask the question, well, what did Jesus create? What was his creative contribution? And right offhand, I'm thinking, well, let's see. We don't know about him writing anything. We don't know about him painting anything or singing or any of those things, but possibly what he created was a social space. He created a reform movement that pushed against the system that oppressed people. Mm. Is that a kind of creativity we see that would be appropriate for the church?
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, and I think, to me, I start at a place of creativity being the freedom to move away from a deterministic future. So, you know, you can look at life as just a series of stimuli and reactions, right? And the sum of a person's life simply being a series of those things. You cry, someone responds, gives you food. You smile. They coo at you, and you learn to coo back because that's just what your brain is deterministically created to do. But I think I understand the creativity of God in us as a freedom from that, that there, while that continues and is often a predominant narrative in our lives, there is choice, and there is a way to move beyond that. And I think as a church, having space to move beyond our reaction, I think that that functionality, that kind of system is really central to key Christian ideas like mercy. Mercy and grace stand up against a deterministic, you do something wrong, I give you a bad response, deservedly so. It gives a space for a new response. Love your enemies. That's a creative response. And so I think if the church doesn't, I think the church can't function. We that creative seed is a necessary piece of how I would understand the Christian life and Christian community.
So you're relating creativity and freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom is maybe a prerequisite for creativity. And if the church doesn't provide its
people with a place of freedom, they're really not fulfilling their mission very well.
Right.
Is that
yeah, yeah, yeah. Good recap.
Yeah, you know, I think of the beauty and the freedom in the last podcast we were talking about, as I have been bringing other books and thoughts and things in, that it's opened something up, and it allows for a deeper, wider creativity. That the box in which I used to live, right, the bounded set box that said some are in, some are out, this thoughts are in, thoughts are out, you know, freedom of expression, you know, some it has to fit within this construct, within this bounded set box. And as those walls have gone down, you know, there's been an openness and much more creativity within my own processes, within my own thought realm, within the way I lead. Now, the difficulty in that is it also, and Brian, you've talked about this a lot with me, it also creates a place where people feel an instability. Not that there is an actual instability, but people feel that there is an instability because people feel more comfortable in a bounded set system. People feel more comfortable, give me the rules that I can follow. And I just think that's a, and we talked about this in the last podcast as well, that's a first half of life discipline that is needed, element that is needed. But there is a place for bringing maturity in that allows for that creativity, that allows for more openness. And I think, you know, there's an author, Thich Nhat Hanh, who talks about, you know, life being about planting seeds. And so for me, when I think about life in terms of that, or, you know, it again opens up a more creative path to be able to do things that plant seeds of hope and of life and of freedom and of openness that for me birth more. But again, you know, I want to go back around to what I said. The challenge is for me being a pastor and trying to lead a church in this way is it can create fear. Mm-hmm. Which is where we are right now, I think, as a community. You know, we have changed so much. And I think there is a lot of freedom and there is a lot of creativity happening and there is a lot of beauty and there are things being birthed. But there's also alongside of that people freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, a big thing that I think of for myself as we've moved as a church community into really walking in a centered set way. When I am preparing a sermon, we kind of touched on this last time, there's often things that I think about or things that I imagine as I'm, you know, studying the text, the scripture, reading authors and academics and what have you. But then going outside of that as well and looking at nature as sort of the first gospel showing us what God is like. There have been many times where in the past, before we came into the centered set way of being as a church, where I would have a thought that I would want to put out there in my sermon and would think, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Right.
Because it was just like, if someone came up to me afterwards and was like, well, where's the scriptural basis for that? Right. I might not have an answer. And I was okay with that. But I was afraid. You know, I was afraid of being challenged sort of according to the... according to the categories that were in place, you know, sort of the the boxes that were in place.
You were stepping out of the box. You were coloring outside of the line.
And I kept it to myself most of the time.
Right.
Which I think was a stifling of creativity that, you know, that I would say God gave me because that's who I am. You know, and that's just like what I thought about. And so if God made me, then there it is, you know. However, I remember the first time when I did it as we were just entering into Centered Set and we were preaching in Job. And I just was like, you know, I'm going to tell you guys what I think about this. And I think it's a folktale that maybe didn't happen in real life. I got some of that.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
And it was scary, but I also felt really like exhilarated because it was freedom in that moment for me to just say what I thought. And I wasn't asking anybody to agree with me. I sort of didn't mind, but I was just, you know.
Is there an element to creativity that requires the creator to say, I don't care what you think.
Absolutely.
I'm just a creator.
Yes. Well, you know, I had to get to that point personally when I did an art piece that was commissioned by Cornerstone and is hanging in our sanctuary now.
And it's quite beautiful.
Why, thank you. I was freaked out and didn't do anything on it for like a year.
I remember that.
And I was so stressed. And I had to do some soul searching. And really the reason was that I had to let go of like this grandiosity that it like had to mean something or be right. What does that mean? You know, and face that fear, and also kind of, yeah, let go of whether people thought it would be good or not. And, once I got over that hump that was like holding me back, I was able to just make something.
How does that, idea of really not caring what somebody else might think or how they might judge you, in a sense, an attitude of, oh, I don't care, I just need to create this. How does that interplay with our value of really caring about each other? And like your dilemma about this art piece, you know, how do you do that with care for others and yet not?
Yeah. Because, yeah, you know, when you put something forward into the world instead of just keeping it in your own head, it is for others. And you want it to benefit humanity or the group you're giving it to. And that's another piece, you know, even to go back to the preaching thing. If I had thought that saying that would really be damaging to the congregation, like if that caution had come to me, then I would have not said it, you know, like just doing something for, because I want to, if it's not going to help, like if it's
not
going to.
Yeah, selfishly motivated or.
Yeah. So maybe that's the line.
So is there an immature creativity versus a mature creativity?
I mean, there's immature life and, yeah. You know, we're all in a process.
So, Tracy, how do you manage that?
Well, you know,
in a community like ours.
First off, in the situation we're in now, I rely on the wisdom of my team, of the elders. So it's not just me making these decisions in a box. It's me making it with 9 other people and listening to the concerns, challenges, whatever that the elders might bring forth. So for me, that's the first. It's a collaboration. And then I think there is a part of it where you kind of hold your nose, close your eyes, and jump. And I think we're kind of living in this tension right now, again, as a community, because we're settling into who we are. And there are people that are going, I don't like who this is. And so they're making the choice to leave. But then there are people that are coming going, I like who this is, who you are. So I want to come in and be a part of this. I wouldn't say it's not caring. For me, it is living in the tension of people challenging and pushing back and not liking what I say and people liking what I say. That tension is always there. there's not a Sunday that I stand up, or there's not a leadership decision that I might make or we make as elders that I don't get some sort of feedback. Negativity is just a part of what I do, part of my job. So part of my call, part of my ministry. And again, this is, again, in the last podcast, we were talking about the Old Testament and I was talking about Moses. And as I'm watching Moses lead, everybody had something to say about him. He had those who were coming against him constantly, and he had those who were on his side. And there was a time when most people were against him. So you look at that and go, this is part of leadership. This is part of what it is. It's part of creativity. Because even Moses, in leading, what he was doing was creative. He was moving a people group, and he was scared to the bottom of his feet. He didn't want to do it. So I think that that's kind of there, and I think you just live in the tension of it. And I think the beauty of it is, for, you know, we talk about loving God and loving others fearlessly, is if you're going to be honest, when you hit these moments, you know, of challenge or whatever, you have to go, okay, I get to grow up a little bit more. How do I love fearlessly here? How do I love in the midst of the disagreement, in the midst of the pushback, whatever it is? So it's not, I wouldn't use the term not caring. I would use the term living in the tension of it. But I also want to add, Robert Frost, in his famous poem that I don't even know what the name of it is, but everybody knows the poem. And when he repeats the last line of that poem.
And miles to go before I sleep.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's it. Okay. So I saw him interviewed, right? I looked him up on YouTube. And somebody said to him, what does that mean? And they're like, give this long explanation of how profound it was and what he was meaning. And he goes, it's exactly what it says it is.
I was just far away from my house.
That's right. He goes, it just is what it is. And people would say that he would, the reason why I looked this up is because he would get ticked off when people tried to read more into his poetry. He goes, I wrote a poem. And then he said, I wrote that poem in 5 minutes, right? It was like, he just wrote it. And everybody was trying to interpret it like this deep thing. And he was like, it just is what it is. And he was one of the first poets to speak at a presidential inauguration. And if you watch that, it was the most boring reading of any poetry that you've ever heard in your life. But people felt that he did that on purpose. Like, it was almost like he was like, yeah, y'all are saying this is what it is, but it's really just this yeah. simple.
So it's a little like the creation can sometimes take on a life of its own.
Right.
Despite what the author of the creation intends or wants to do.
Right. Which is the danger of every time you preach.
Exactly.
Every time we get up and preach.
There's a wonderful thing about that and a terrifying thing. Mm-hmm.
Very
that.
Frightening.
Mm-hmm. How does creativity serve the community? What's its purpose, do you think, Terry?
I love that Brian is just taking
yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh,
I always have a lot
no,
of questions.
This is why I love you. It's so great.
I think that if there's no creativity, then you're not really alive, right? And so creativity serves the community by allowing life to breathe in it, by letting people be alive. And I think part of that is people being who they are and not having to constantly apologize, you know, or be afraid or be cut down in whatever way. And that's huge, because I think, I mean, to me, that's an aspiration as a church community, because I think that there are many just places we might find ourselves in society that demand that we be a certain way. And I think that church has been one of the biggest proponents of that, right? And to be not that way as a church is so revolutionary. But I feel myself coming alive in this setting, and I see others able to do the same. And so I just think it lets us be alive, which means growing and changing and means not having to be afraid.
And I think to live out things, you need to have a vocabulary to work with. So like I think about dance, for example. It's very hard to just dance for some people. But if you have a vocabulary of here are 10 movements that can you can put together in different ways to make a dance. Oh, okay. I understand some of the parameters. If we don't have a space to create and to practice that and to learn, like, here are some of the ways that creativity can look like. We can think different. We can sing different. We can stand different or move different. We can create differently. Having a space to practice that, to your point, helps us be alive. And I mean, I've been thinking about how all of this, in my mind, links to your vision of heaven, which is a whole nother conversation.
Which we're going to have.
Oh, right.
But
we'll get there.
My vision of the new earth is one of creativity and adventure. Mm. And I think some people's vision of the new earth or heaven is one of sterility and homogeneity. You know, they focus on all people bowing before the throne as kind of a homogenous picture rather than that of a garden with 12 different trees, with 12 different fruits in a city. You know, to me, that speaks of a life of variety and diversity and creativity, that there will be adventures to be had, that there'll be feats to be feated in the new earth. And this is preparing, like when we prepare, how do we, you know, if we want a taste of heaven, creativity should be a part of that rather than a taste of heaven only looking like everyone putting their hands up in the same direction and, you know, worshiping, saying the same words in the same note in the same way, because that is the one way of worshiping God.
Well, you know, you're bringing up this amazing image in my mind. We look at Earth, we look at things like ladybugs and elephants and pterodactyls and, right, and the ocean and the sun and, you know, what you talked about with what the telescope, what NASA just showed today, the cosmic dance. And you know, all of this beauty, and then we think we're going to, the new heaven is going to be sterile.
Right.
Or the church should be sterile, you know, and it should be homogenous. Yet nature screams creativity. Nature screams beauty. Nature, I mean, yeah, that picture was incredible. All those little lights and stars, and those are galaxies. And you just go, it doesn't even fit into my head. And we go, yes, exactly what you said. It's going to be a sterile environment, really? And yet we put God into that little box of sterility.
And that's how we get closer to God.
Yes.
Is by disinfecting the reality into one common white, preferably, right? You know, like everyone's wearing white, please.
Harps.
Yeah. Harp playing reality.
Yeah, with no personality. It's amazing.
What's our core value about learning?
We embrace learning and discovery.
Thank you.
Bam. Yeah.
It was not coming to my mind. Yes. I knew you guys would have it. But I think that's a huge part. Like, to me, you can't be learning something unless you have room to try stuff.
Yeah. And to fall.
Yeah,
and fail.
And trying stuff requires creativity.
Yes.
And you need a portion of freedom in order to learn anything.
Yes.
So you're saying we don't have a value on quality and excellence in everything we do?
Definitely
kind of,
not.
Kind of no.
Yeah, right.
It's more like tripping around.
Just trying
hanging
stuff.
Hanging out, trying stuff. Oops, that's not right.
That is actually so countercultural, though.
It is.
It really is.
And it makes people uncomfortable.
And it does. You know, that's what I was circling around with those questions earlier is when people come to church, they expect a certain set of behaviors and sights and sounds and an experience.
And a level of polish.
Yeah, excellence and quality, right? And when they don't get that, they're confused. And so what do you do with that in terms of respecting someone's expectations to some degree, but also working to set them free? On the other hand, that takes time. And I just hope people stick around long enough to experience the freedom that we would give them as opposed to somewhere else.
I'm just imagining we had someone recently who came, and during the sermon, I heckled our preacher, who happened to be James. And he came up to me, the new person came up to me later, and he's like, I didn't know if I was allowed to laugh or like what was going on. I mean, exactly what you're talking about. They had a construct of church and they're like, I don't even know what to do. Like, no, what? And we're like, you can laugh. You can, and it was great because a couple weeks later, he shouted something out in the middle of a sermon that was
awesome.
A little obnoxious or, you know, like in the tone of that moment. And I'm like, yes, you got it. Like, to your point, he stuck around long enough to not just feel completely disoriented, but embrace what we were doing.
So I have to bring this to a close. And but I love this conversation surrounding creativity. And Brian, your last comment and question, I think, is kind of where, again, we're living as a community, is in that tension. And what you're talking about, Matt, is in that tension of people sticking around long enough. So listen, if you want to be a part of a creative community that is inclusive, that is a wonderful place, come on by Cornerstone Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Pennsylvania. We'd love to have you visit. So thank you for listening again, and we just really hope that there is a table that you find that allows freedom of thought and allows creativity and allows curiosity and allows wonder. So thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Staying at the Table is hosted by Dr. Tracy Saletta, Matthew Kistler, and James Beatty, and produced by Hear It Sound and Studio. Got a question or a comment or a topic you want discussed? Email us at adminccf@gmail.com. We'd love hearing from you. And don't forget to subscribe to keep up to date with new episodes coming out. And if you're feeling kind, leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts. Find out more about staying at the table at cornerstonewestchester.com.